It is my pleasure again to bring God's word to you this afternoon. We will go to our last part three in our message or in our journey in Psalm 73 that we have been having a break in between, but I hope that it is a psalm that is being helpful to you in our sermon series this summer, where we are aiming to understand from God's word, from Psalm, about the providence and also suffering and the providence or the sovereignty of God. And as we say this afternoon, we are closing Psalm 73, which is a journey of a trial of faith that Asaph has experienced. And many of us, as we said from the beginning, can relate very deeply and closely to what is happening to Asaph here. Many of us, we may be going through season of anxiety, anguish, and suffering, and we tend always in those days to question, where is God? We question even his goodness. But in the journey of this trial that Asaph experienced, he had come to the conclusion that truly God is good to his people, to Israel, and to those who are pure in heart. And we said in the first message that this psalm is a retrospective, that after those suffering and anguish moments of the life of Asaph, he comes to this conclusion and he's given us all the journey that took him to conclude that God is good. And this is what we have been seeing as we are navigating these waters in Psalm 73. If you can, please stand with me as we read all Psalm 73 from verses 1 up to verse 28. But today we will focus, we'll give our attention to verses 25 to 28. That says the word of God. A psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death, their body are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue thrust through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I will have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. Nevertheless, I was continually with you. I was continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, and I may tell, so that I may tell of all your works. You may be seated. Father, once again, we pray that you be with us. Give me clarity of thoughts as your word is being communicated to your people, and that our hearts will be ready to receive your word, not as a word of man, but as a word that comes from you, which is able to save our soul and give us an inheritance among the saints. Lord, take us to that place of true repentance, that we may not presume of your kindness and goodness, knowing that it is your kindness and goodness that lead us unto repentance. Give us the grace to repent this afternoon. We beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The title for this message this afternoon is Repentance, a Key to the Nearness of God. As we started seeing this psalm, in the first message we understood that because Asaph took his eyes from the Lord and started seeing the prosperity of the wicked, in his heart envy was brought to life, and he started doubting the goodness of God. And we have affirmed that every time that we see we are in facing the same situation, we need to remember what Christ has done for us at the cross of Calvary, because the cross has spoken even when we don't understand why we are suffering. It does not mean that God is ignorant or unaware or unwilling to meet us in our point of need, in our suffering. Then we saw that the very point that Asaph entered into the sanctuary of God, as per verse 17, he could understand the destiny of the wicked, and he could also understand the destiny of the righteous. In the presence of God, in the sanctuary, he discerned that the wicked will not prosper forever. And that action, or that prideful attitude of the wicked toward God, when God seems to be silent, not doing anything, was actually God's mercy towards the wicked, giving him time to repent. And we saw that when he entered the sanctuary of God, he understood that God was with him, even in the moment that he raised his fists to fight against God, doubting his love. It was God that didn't allow his faith to faint. And it was God that directed him into the sanctuary so that he could understand this and glorify God. So we stopped in verse 24 in our journey, and we say that we could just very quickly sit in verse 21 and 22, which is actually the hinge in the door that swift from the understanding that he had about the wicked and the righteous, and what then was the response of Asaph towards the revelation that God has given him. Remember that all of this is happening where? In the sanctuary of God. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. So what was the response of Asaph as he had that revelation, that understanding that comes from the Lord? Verse 21. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Brothers and sisters, these words reveal the heart of Asaph acknowledging his state of a rebellion towards God. He acknowledged that his heart was full of bitterness towards God. That bitterness had added unto himself the attitude of despising the goodness of God, or hinder him to see the goodness of God, because that bitterness towards God have led him to envy the arrogant. But here, he is confessing that to the Lord, because he is in the sanctuary of God. He understood that the way he was walking was not correct. He understood that his motivation and heart attitude was not correct. And what he does? He comes to the Lord in the presence of the Lord, and he simply does what? Confess. Confess that this is who I was, Lord. I was bitter towards you in my soul, in my heart. Brothers and sisters, repentance is not something that is being taught, is being spoken. It's something that even us as a believer, we stop practicing in our lives. And this is one of the hindrances in our lives for us not to have the full experience of a Christian life. Because in our pride, we refuse to repent even when the Lord reveals his perfect will, he reveals his word unto us. And we think that it's okay. And we think that we can continue living our lives as believers, or called as Christians, even when we do not repent, when we are confronted with the truth of God's word, just as or unlike what Asaph has experienced here. Remember that he has discerned the end of the wicked. He has discerned what God did for him in and through God's grace. And then he acknowledged that he was a sinner. In the scripture reading this afternoon that we read, if you know very well the story, as the subscription said, David came in full repentance towards God when Prophet Nathan came and confronted him in his sin. When was the last time that you have been in the presence of the Lord pouring out your heart in repentance towards Him. When was the last time that you allowed God's word to speak into your life, to shape and form your mind and your heart towards the Lord? When was the last time that you acknowledged the mercy and the grace of God in your life? Asaph admitted that his attitude of doubting God was an ignorant attitude. He understood that he was like a beast, like an animal. He was misbehaving. He said, "Lord, this is who I am." In the same way David did, "Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. Cast not me away from your presence." Why? Because He is a good God. Because He is a merciful God. As Asaph understood that the God that is in heaven didn't allow him to fall completely in unbelief, for his faith not to faint, when he understood that the grace of God was the one that drove him in His presence, he understood that God is good and merciful, and that he can run unto Him even when he sinned. Brothers and sisters, for those that are in Christ, please get this right. When you sin, run to the Lord, acknowledging your sin. God is merciful and kind, and in His covenant with us, in and through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is ready to forgive, but to those who acknowledge their sin. So this is the call that this afternoon Asaph is teaching us. It's a call for repentance. When we repent, we can come near God. Heather, when she was praying, she mentioned the prodigal son, isn't it? If you go and read the story, you will see that when the father in that parable, who represents God, saw the son coming because he came to his senses after rebelling against the father, when the father saw the son coming, the Bible says that is the father that ran into the encounter of the son. But make no mistake, the son had to come to his senses first, meaning he needed to repent. And this is what Asaph is teaching us here. We need to confess our sins unto the Lord. And when we do that, we need to name it and let God give you the same sight that He has and understand that He has towards sin, in order for that sin to give you a godly sorrow that will drive you to confess your sin and to turn away from it towards God. And this is what Asaph did, as he acknowledged in his anguish what was actually the problem in his heart, is that he created the bitterness towards God. Brothers and sisters, this is what we see, that we need in the presence of God to be open and to bring our life towards Christ completely. And it is these two verses that is the transition and the important background that we need for verse 25 and 26 which is my first point this afternoon, that true repentance produces then what? New desires. Look with me, verse 25 and 26. Asaph is saying, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Compare this verse with verse 3 in the psalm, in this same psalm, when he starts saying that almost my faith has, or my feet has stumbled. Why? Because I was envy of the arrogant. What is envy, brothers and sisters? Envy is desiring what others have for me. So when Asaph saw what was happening or what's going on in the life of the wicked, he wanted that for him. He wanted no problems. He wanted everything that he names there from verses 4 to verses 12. You see, in that condition of bitterness, envy is always in view. He desired in that condition something that now, as he comes into the presence of God in true repentance, is replaced with the desires that come from the Lord. He says, and he understands, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth now that I desire besides you. When we come into the presence of the Lord, when we acknowledge who he is, when we come to the sanctuary of God, when we understand by God's word and God's wisdom and God's revelation what is going on in this world, we understand that we need to put our eyes to the Lord and desire him above everything else. I desire on the earth. There is nothing on the earth that I desire besides you. Brothers and sisters, once again, we need to check our hearts. I think areas in our lives that we are seeing ourselves called to the Lord or towards the Lord, areas in our lives that we don't desire him as Asaph is presenting us here, is simply because there is no true repentance in us. Because that true repentance will produce, will create these new desires. And this is what we see here that Asaph understood. Nothing else in the world would satisfy but God and him alone. He says that in heaven you are there, and in this earth I desire you above everything. He puts God as his strength, and he says that he is his portion forever. God is everything that Asaph now desires. Brothers and sisters, in the moment of anguish and suffering, the Lord is calling us for us to see him, and for our heart to be transformed, and for our heart to start desiring new things as we deviate our hearts from the wicked unto the Lord. He is the one that produces in us these new desires. Second, true repentance produces new resolution. See with me verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, for behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful. But for me, it is good to be near God. I made the Lord God my refuge, so that I may tell of all your works. As these new desires are being created in Asaph. He's driving now to a new action. Because repentance must automatically reflect in the way, in the actions that we have in our lives, contrary to the path that we were walking. True repentance will always be manifested in the way we choose to live our lives. And see, Asaph, he says, I know that the wicked, verse 27, for behold, those who are far from you, the wicked, they will perish. But he has chosen, verse 28, but for me, it is good to be near God. He's making that resolution in him, in and through the time and the circumstances that he was living. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, that we need to draw near God in James 4, chapter 8. And what will be the result? God will draw near us. The repentance creates the pathway for the nearness of God to manifest in the life of Asaph. But he had to resolve to do that, and he says that it is good for me to be near God. Why? One of the first things, and very clear, the nearness of God in Asaph gives him understanding. He has the right perspective of life in the presence of God. Have you not experienced that in your life before? When you were closer to God, there is a joy that comes naturally in your heart. You are able sometimes actually to discern God's dealings with you when you are near of Him. Have you ever experienced that? I'm sure you had. But when sin comes, sin makes us to be far away from God. That's why we are being invited this afternoon to repent so that we can once again come near our God. Second, Asaph resolved to make the Lord God his refuge. One of the main things that people in the midst of suffering they need is a place of safety, is a place of security. And the Bible says that the Lord is our strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are what? They are saved. And Asaph here is saying that this is God is my refuge. I will trust in Him. He has been resolving to put his security and his comfort, his satisfaction, all in God. Brothers and sisters, in time of suffering and anguish, we tend to leave God aside and look for security and for safety elsewhere. But what the Bible is teaching us this afternoon is, as we come to the presence of God, we can be assured of His love and His care towards us, and we can make Him our refuge and our security. Thirdly, he resolved to do what? To tell of God's works to the people around him. When he understood of the goodness of God, nothing could stop him of praising God. Whom have I in heaven but you? And people around him, and even us today, we came to know of the works of God in the life of Asaph because he has recorded that, to strengthen us and to give us the insight that God is a good God. He is a good father that knows how to take care of his children. That's how Asaph came to understand the goodness of God in and through suffering. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are at in your walk with Christ. And I don't know, and I don't presume that I know what is going on in your life. But I pray that as we navigate together this psalm, the Lord has taught you that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the very proof that he is walking with you in your suffering, in your anguish. The anguish that Jesus Christ suffered in Gethsemane, it was for you and it was also for me. Even if we do not understand why is this happening to me, don't doubt the goodness of God, why he cares for you. How do we know? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ has spoken. We can come to him and we can confess that, Lord, it's been difficult, like Job did. We know his story. But at the end, I believe in chapter 40 or 42, he acknowledged, I have sinned against you, Lord. And he came to the nearness, to know the nearness of God again. And the Bible says that he was restored. This is the same thing that the Lord wants us to do if we come to him in true repentance. Our repentance, if we come to the Lord in honest repentance, if we come to him confessing our sin, saying that we have been selfish, because I wanted the things of the world more than you. This was Asaph's issue. He desires the things of God instead of the God of the things. But when he put his heart completely to the Lord, coming to him in repentance, new desires and new resolutions, he was able to produce, or the grace of God was able to produce in him, for the glory of God and for his complete joy. May the Lord give us strength. May the Lord equip us. And may the Lord help us, for us to embrace moments of anguish, not in doubt, but in full assurance of his presence with us. Because Jesus Christ has drawn near to us first, and we can rely in his covenant with us even when we are suffering without understanding why. May the Lord bless us this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. And we come to you, acknowledge that your mercy in our lives is more, Lord. And that you renew your mercy every morning, Lord. Give us another opportunity for us to come closer to you in true repentance and to know of your nearness to us, Lord. Lord, take us to the end of ourselves, as you did even with David, as you did even with Asaph. And help us to open up our mouth and confess our sins to the holy God that you are, in order for us to experience again your presence and the inward reality of your presence in our lives. As we draw closer to you, Lord, you have promised that you will draw closer to us. Therefore, let my brother, let my sister that will respond to this word, O Lord, experience, Lord, your nearness unto their hearts, their lives, even in the midst of their suffering. We know, O Lord, that you are walking with us through the valleys, through the fires, and through the waters, Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory. May Jesus Christ be made known, O Lord, in our lives, no matter what. And as we leave this place, let our desire towards you increase, Lord, to cause us to seek you in everything, in every way we can, through your word, through prayer, being in fellowship with one another, and encouraging one another when the days are evil around us. May your kingdom come in our lives, and may your will be done now and forevermore. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.